I believe I've crossed over into Walking Tall.
And your zombies scare the crap out of my daughter.
I dropped super glue on the floor, and I glued my foot to the floor, and I was like, screw it, I'm done.
Fart.
The Spectre does not speak for Joe Customs.
We're going to start doing My Little Pony Customs or something.
JoeCustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs!
Hi, I'm P-Love. Welcome to the Joe Customs podcast. We're here with co-hosts, Aaron.
This is Bucky. Hello.
And I'm Dan, also known as The Spectre.
One cucumber, one celery stalk, two apples, and a piece of kale. Oh, hi. Joe Michaels.
Jeff and Brad, TR101AL, they're going to be chiming in with some pre-recorded bits. They're not actually on the podcast, but they're on the podcast, if you know what I mean. Our special guest tonight is the one, the only, Dan of the Dead.
Hi. We should have some kind of canned applause.
Yeah.
When we introduce our guests.
That'll go in there. I've got too many sound clips going on with just Jeff and Brad. Cut me some slack.
My welcome for special guest, Dan of the Dead. Hi, Dan of the Dead.
Hi.
Just scrolling past a guy walking down the highway carrying a baseball bat. I believe I've crossed over into Walking Tall. This is what I get for a one-sided podcast while on a road trip.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Was there a question in there that I missed?
No.
Okay.
But he did have this to say to you.
Okay.
Here are my random thoughts regarding Dan of the Dead, and I know he can't respond. Well, he can respond to this, but I can't follow up to any of this. So I'll just call it what it is, which is some kissing. Number one, he's one of my favorite customers ever, going all the way back to the Mirror Universe group project with his Xandar and Zarana customs.
Oh, wow.
I put those on my list of something I want to steal, and I still haven't done so, but plan to. Who can forget one of the funniest customs ever posted to the site, yet legitimate, which is the Cobra Commander vanity statue.
Awesome.
A couple more that I noticed while just briefly looking through his miles and miles of submissions in the gallery include the Mr. Glass custom, which is astounding, and again, another on my to steal list, as well as the Frank custom from Donnie Darko, which, off the wall and amazing. Kudos on that. I still have a Chewbacca stuffed aside for stealing that recipe as well. Also, I would have to say that you do some amazing playset customs, including your Missile Command, which is astounding. And although I, you know, would have loved to have gone head-to-head with Castle Destro, obviously you were way out front on that one. And also the other playset that I really like, which is really more a display, was your G.I. Joe logo backdrop / shelf that you made using foam. That was back before I even started using foam myself, and I took a lot of inspiration from that and had actually forgotten about it, and now I want to do that myself. Another thing I'd like to say, since I just brought it up recently, is while looking at your gallery submissions, I was really struck by how uniform and beautiful every single one of those submissions was, with that awesome blue background and very well lit, being able to see all the detail. They're truly great, and it would be awesome if we could have everything look that nice. Unfortunately, myself included, I haven't quite perfected the art of taking museum quality photos like that. Coming back around to the idea of museum quality photos, another thing that you really brought to the site that I thought was amazing was your gallery display and how you had set up your customs with the little 4x6 cards to kind of explain and show what the character was. And I still think that's a great idea, and I still wish I had the space to be able to do that with all of mine, but unfortunately I don't. Not too far off the subject of your gallery display backdrops is the description pieces that you made, the 8x10, what is anatomy of a custom, as well as a little description. as to what you did. Not only do I think those are fantastic, and I'm glad that you did them for your gallery, but what I would like to do is ask you if we can revise those a little bit and use both of them as something to display on the Joe Customs table, maybe as soon as assembly required, but certainly for the next JoeCon that we attend. I'm also going to assume that you just said, of course, right there.
Of course. Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay, yeah, that was a lot of really good things to talk about. I guess I can work backwards there, and I mean, obviously, of course, I think that's an awesome idea to kind of tweak the anatomy of a custom image for and brand it kind of for Joe Customs. We could even use the new Joe Customs mascot figure kind of as the figure to break down, if that's a good one to do, or something like that. So I think that'd be cool. Yeah, the gallery displays and the I think my strongest area as a customizer is my presentation, and that's from studying graphic design and working in a few photography studios. You know, I think some of you behind the scenes have seen I'm trying to start to work on some tutorials to help people kind of increase the quality of documentation, because I think it's a lot easier than a lot of people think, and you don't need a lot of fancy equipment. And so I'm kind of hoping to pull together some tutorials for the site that will maybe be helpful to people trying to improve their, you know, picture taking. Yeah, I like that he started with the Mirror Universe figures. It's like I sometimes forget I ever finished any old style figures because I have just so many works in progress from the A Real American Hero era that just never got finished. I totally forgot that I even entered the Mirror Universe group project and until just now. And I was like, oh yeah, I did make those figures. And I don't know. It's cool to be reminded that you've been working on stuff for as long as you have. When I'm focused on the stuff I've been working on more recently, and it's nice to remember older stuff that you haven't thought about in a while. So those were a lot of really good points to kind of talk about.
It was a lot of points.
It was. But I'm fine with that. Anybody who wants to, like, make lists of how awesome I am, that's fine.
Well, Brad actually chimed in to let me play his part, and hopefully okay. I won't play more Justin Timberlake.
Dan of the Dead, did you have anything you wanted to say to Dan?
Always enjoy his work, thinks out of the box, and kind of pushes my creativity. Love his zombies, and I just want to keep going after his different ideas and posting them on the site.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, my screen name is taken from It's Dawn of the Dead without the W, so obviously I'm a big zombie guy, and I know a lot of people are getting so sick of zombies right now, but I'm sick of bad zombie stuff, but good zombie stuff I'll always, like, love. And so I, you know, I'll always be making zombie figures, and I'll be happy to see other people working on, like, their different zombies in the G.I. Joe universe. So that's, yeah, I'll always be into that.
Daniel, did you happen to read the fake G.I. Joe 3 opening I did?
Was that the zombie one?
Yes.
Okay, I just skimmed it earlier today. I haven't really gotten a chance to look at it, but I'm into that. You know, I mean, I think the problem is that Hasbro won't do a G.I. Joe movie where people die. I mean, like, a lot of people die, but I know a lot of fans hate the idea of zombies in G.I. Joe, but I love it. I mean, I think, and a lot of people have, like, done great takes on it already. Like, I'm going to mess up. I think Keenan had the, like, the Cobras in the Left 4 Dead world or something. Dio story he was doing, I think.
Oh, yeah. But also, yeah. S.G. Caper has the All That Remains.
All That Remains, and, yeah, I mean, people are already doing some really great zombie G.I. Joe, like, crossover stuff. And, I mean, I think it goes together well. Just because, I mean, Cobra has always been, you know, evil scientist-oriented. And it's a step up from, you know, like, the Battle Android Troopers, kind of like the clones and, like, the prequel Star Wars movies. Like, it's not okay to show your military, your cartoon military blasting away humans if you just make them zombies, maybe it's more okay. I mean, so I think it kind of fits that G.I. Joe and zombies go hand in hand, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I if it's done at all well, I like it. I mean, you have to really screw it up for me to, like, not enjoy it. But,
yeah, besides, yeah. It's Kanon already. We've had zombie vipers, so there are zombies in G.I. Joe. So.
Yeah, yeah. And even as far back as, like, what, the Toxo Zombie or whatever.
Right.
Yep.
And that's always been in there, so, yeah. I'm all for it.
Me too. Big zombie guy.
Paramount, G.I. Joe, Hasbro, they don't like blowing up people so much, but
yeah.
If you're a landmark, you're on the list. Eiffel yeah. Tower, London.
That's what, I mean, in the first movie, and I've come around to, like, I can enjoy both the movies for what they are, and but, like, they destroy Paris. I mean, Paris is gone. It's like nobody mentions it, like, in the second movie. Like, I don't know. It just seems like that would come up again. Like, hey, remember how you guys destroyed Paris?
Well, at least it was nanomites. It just, you know, people weren't getting eaten by nanomites.
Right.
You know. But the second movie, they blew up some cities.
Yeah.
Like, entire cities.
Yeah. Yeah, London is no more. That's true. That is true. They got rid of London. They did. And I don't know. Why is it always foreign cities? Why is it... Is it not
cool? American power?
Exactly.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about that destruction of London because, you know, 5 minutes after it happened, the doctor went back in time and stopped it.
Right. Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With his wibbly wobbly machine, yes.
Exactly. As I sit here wearing my Doctor Who and the Daleks t-shirt.
Awesome. Yeah, my wife and I are into the newer Doctor Who. I never was into the older series. I mean, I remember watching some of them on PBS, but... We really got into the newer series, and I don't know. People have made some really great custom doctors and whatnot. I might have to tackle some of them, especially since we have the, what's his name? The guy who played Destro.
Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, exactly. We have an official head sculpt for him, so I mean, why wouldn't you have Dr. Who 2 years in your
collection? Exactly.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, looking at your list of customs that you've done, I mean, I know I like the occasional guest star and whatever, but you don't just do, like, one character. You'll do, you know, all of the Turtles and Shredder and the Foot Clan, or, you know, do both sides of Unbreakable, doing, you know, the Glass, Mr. Glass, and Unbreakable. You do genres, and you'll do, like, the whole thing, and it's all over the place.
I think that's... For me, if something's already been done, it's hard for me to do it. Especially if somebody's done it well, then I'm like, well, what's the reason for me to do it? This person has already pretty much done it right. And then I love working on sets of figures. Like, there's kind of like a momentum to that work, where if you build one figure, you can start working on another that kind of goes with it, and then they kind of feed off of each other. So I love having a theme or something to work on, which is why I probably come up with, like, once I do... like a foot soldier, then I'm like, okay, I have to go back and finish Krang and Shredder, you know. So now I haven't actually ever done the Turtles, but now I really want to. But I'm trying to figure out how I can do the Turtles that's different from how everybody else has done them.
Yeah, that Krang. I go back to that Krang every once in a while.
And that's another one where I was like, nobody's gonna like this. This is stupid. This is so dumb. I shouldn't even finish it. But then I started working on the foot soldiers because of the custom celebration, and I was like, well, I'll go back and I'll... Because the flesh tone on that Krang was so hard to get right. But yeah, once he was done, I was like, okay, this is worth posting.
Worth posting. Yeah, no question. That was just brilliant. He used the movie version 1, Mark 1 Iron Man suit, and used the Krang... the actual little globby brain and put it inside the torso. It's brilliant. Yeah. We'll put up a link or a picture or whatever, but
the head is actually entirely, the brain Krang is actually entirely green stuff that I just smushed in there. And
that's exactly what I said. He didn't even use the toy version. He went and sculpted it by hand. That's exactly what I said. Something that I thought was interesting was your involvement with the Hunt for the Holocron fan film, the Star Wars fan film.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did for that?
Well, I met this guy, Martin Spitznagel, through a mutual friend, and, like, we hit it off immediately. Like, it was like one of those, do you speak Star Wars? Yes, I speak Star Wars, and we're best friends. And our mutual friend Jeffrey had been helping him ever since they went to film school together on this fan film that they had shot, like, 10 years ago. And it sat around unfinished because I didn't have any special effects shots. And I was like, hey, maybe we could try to finish this like the old-fashioned way. I could try to build a couple model ships. We could try to film them on green screen and do it that way. And so, like, over the course of, like, 3 years, I slowly tried to figure out how to build the models, which, I mean, vehicle customs are not my strong suit. And, like, I learned so much doing them that I wish I could go back and redo them. But we made the custom ships. I used the Rolling Thunder from G.I. Joe, totally gutted it, cut off a bunch of the pieces, turned some of the pieces around, got a bunch of battleship models, scrapped those for little spare parts, glued them all over, and we made this big capital ship. And then I took a Jedi Starfighter toy and kind of turned it around some and made it look a little older fashioned. And Incom is a Star Wars customizer that posts a lot over at yakface.com. Rimco. I didn't have no idea how to build the wings, so I was like, hey, could you do these out of styrene? And so he built the wings, sent me the wings, I added the wings, and we just shot this. Martin would come in. I was living in Houston at the time. Martin would fly in from Pittsburgh or Washington, and we'd just spend the weekend shooting on green screen in a driveway, just making a makeshift dolly to do track shots of these models. And it actually came out for what it is. It came out really cool. I mean, if you haven't watched it, you should give it a watch. I mean, for the fact that he shot it probably 13 or 14 years ago now, fresh out of film school with just his friends, and the fact that we made the special effects in the driveway, it has no business being as good as it is. I mean, it's still a fan film. It's the video quality is not nearly HD, but I mean, I love the thing. And he actually had a premiere at a small theater in Pittsburgh that we flew in for, and it was awesome. And just to be able to see my custom vehicles on the big screen, doing the Star Wars overhead shot and stuff like that, that was amazing. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the costumes were fan filmy. Some of the dialogue, the dialogue was at least on par with what George Lucas has come up with. But the ships, I got to be honest, the ships looked crazy cool, especially, flying around. It's
good.
I was trying to look for a good screen grab of the ship flying, and I'm like, they were just too well done, and it looked old and grainy, especially watching it on YouTube now. But the ships looked really good. And I couldn't place Rolling Thunder. If you hadn't have mentioned it way back when, I would have never known.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite projects is that just, it's the Rolling Thunder with, I think, the cockpit from the Star Wars Outrider, two of those for the engines, and it looks a little Battlestar Galactica, but still a little Star Wars, and I don't know, I was just really happy with how it came out. But again, I mean, I wish I could go back and do it all over, knowing now a little bit more about working with large vehicles and stuff like that. But I was happy with how the vehicles came out. It was cool to see them on the big screen.
Bucky, did you have anything you wanted to ask, add?
I do not follow Star Wars at all. So when I see one of those Star Wars customs, I have no idea who it is, and it looks cool, and it ends up making me go on Google and read the little Wikipedia on him. To see what he is. They blow me away. I have no idea who they are, and then I look at him like, oh, that's really neat. What is that? Ends up being a Star Wars guy. And your zombies scare the crap out of my daughter, so.
That's awesome.
And me. They're pretty gory looking.
I had a lot of fun with them. And that got me into this cool thing where it's like, my goal with the zombies was I wasn't allowed to buy any new parts. I had to use up a bunch of fodder, and so I was like, okay, I'll make a bunch of zombies. And I think that got me a lot better about using what I had instead of just trying to find the perfect part, is find out how to make what I already owned work with what I was trying to come up with, which was cool.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a lot more of that, so I have basically put a moratorium on buying anything new.
Yeah.
And I'm just working with what I've got, because I've got tubs and tubs and tubs of parts out of my garage that I honestly don't think I'm ever going to get all the way through, so why bother buying new stuff?
And what bugs me is the, there's a shelf life to parts. I mean, some of the stuff that I bought, when I first started customizing is, good for nothing now. Like, old Star Wars stuff, maybe a head is still, you can still make it a ball joint head, but the rest of the body is just generally worthless for customizing. And it's, I don't know, that you've got to use what you've got around, or it's just never going to get used.
Exactly. Some of the older, Power of the Force 2 stuff's pretty much junk, but towards the end, right before the changeover to, the Episode 1 line, they started getting a little better.
Yeah.
They can still be good for background characters, but anything that's going to be a foreground hero-type figure, you got to use the more modern parts.
And the funny thing, I'm really obsessive about the articulation and the structure of my customs, and that's why I separate my Star Wars and my G.I. Joe customs. It's like, if it's a G.I. Joe custom, it has to have almost that exact modern style articulation, or it drives me nuts. Like, if the figures that only have one knee bend, or they don't have the ankle joint, I'm like, that's not a G.I. Joe figure. It just bugs me so bad. It's just, I just like all the figures to be uniform in how they move.
You're way more strict than I am. Way more. For me, if it fits the character, you know, and if it has the range of motion that I needed to for that character, I'm okay. But
right.
The ones from the Indiana Jones ones where they have that Y-split legs, you know,
yeah.
I can't use those. I have like yeah. about five yeah. of them, and I don't want to throw them away because there might be that one project where they come in handy.
Exactly.
But I'm not going to use those.
And it's funny because if somebody uses the T-bar on a Star Wars figure, it bugs me too. I'm like, no, Star Wars figures have the little Y-joint. G.I. Joes have the T-bar. That's how you know they're what shelf they go on.
I use whatever parts look good. I mean, I've mixed yeah. Joe and Star Wars parts, and vice versa. I've mixed in things from The Hobbit and every 3¾-inch figure you can imagine. As long as aesthetically it's pleasing and it fits right. the look that's in my head, I really don't care as much about the articulation. I still have some older, like Episode 1 and 2 figures where they don't have all the elbow joints and knee joints and everything, but the sculpt is still nice and crisp, so they are going right. to get used at some point or another.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's something that I've had to come around to accepting. Like, the Lizard from the first Amazing Spider-Man movie, that mm-hmm. figure was really great. It had pretty limited articulation, but, I mean, it made a great base. I think I did the Yellow Snake version of Cobra Commander, like, mid-transformation from the animated.
Once a man.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, it worked great for that. And I also use it as a base for Genghis Rex from Dino Saucers. And with that one, he had, like, some armor pieces that hid the wrong articulation, so that one was easier to get away with. But, yeah, I mean, if it looks right, you got to use it.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly.
If no one has anything else for Dan, we'll kick it into some of the segments.
Sounds good.
Jeff, did you have anything you wanted to add?
John, here's a cool song. It has cowbell. Anyway, I'm going to pull up the piece from the... here it is. Get It Right by the Climax Blues Band. Tell me that's not the story of customizing. Couldn't get it right.
Nice. Yeah, but you play too much of that, you gotta pay a royalty fee.
Yeah, I'll cut some of it out. I'm like, really, dude?
Go Blue Lasers.
Yo, Michaels is an odd dude.
The first segment I wanted to talk about was abandoned projects. I'm not talking about works in progress that you just kind of buried in the back and you'll get to it someday, like this spirit figure that I've gone through like three different types of construction styles. I'm talking about ones where it sounded good, it looked good on paper, you actually put it together, you were all for it, and somewhere along the line you were just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And this came about because Lance Sputnik was... talking about doing a laser tag custom, and I was asking about the Iron Man 2 Whiplash, if anybody had, you know, the chest piece, and I just happened to have it, but I'd taken that and put like a LED computer cover light on top of it and was going to use it on an Iron Man custom that just never came to be. So he goes, oh, that was a great idea. What happened? And like, they came out with Mark 1 through 42 Iron Men, and it just kind of didn't seem as important anymore. So, Daniel, we'll start with you. Have there been any projects where you just loved the idea, but somewhere along the way it was just, yeah, that's not something I want to do anymore?
Yeah, the one that comes to mind immediately is way back for the, I had to go back to the site and look it up, for the Liberty 2198 group project.
Jeez.
Wow.
This is like the third group project. And this is like when I stopped customizing for a while. I remember getting so frustrated. I was working on like a guy with like a speeder bike that I had gotten a little Harley metal bike. I was trying to make my first custom vehicle. It wasn't coming out right. The pilot was going to be like, I think it was the version 2 Snake Eyes head with the visor, but like painted flesh tone with the exception of the visor, obviously. And the pilot never came together. And while I was working on the bike, it was like the day of the deadline, and it was getting really close to the deadline, and it was nowhere near done. I dropped super glue on the floor, and I glued my foot to the floor, and I was like, screw it, I'm done. And I never went back to that figure.
Sorry. Oh, I've been there. Bucky?
There's been several figures that I started and they look good on paper and it looks good in my head, and then I'll get halfway there and I think they look like crap, so I'll just toss them. And then I still have all the parts in a box that's like rotting in the garage, but I had just tons and tons of playset parts from G.I. Joe and Star Wars pieces that I was picking up at garage sales, and I wanted to make this great big base, kind of space base, and it never got around to it. I had it all planned out. It was going to be a lot of drilling and putting screws and bolts on to get it all held together, and I just completely lost interest in it, and it's been sitting in the garage for years now. If anybody wants it, let me know. That's it.
The only thing I can think of is there was one project I abandoned about halfway through because I didn't like the way it was looking. Years ago, this is going back into the probably mid to late 90s, when I was first really developing my custom universe, I wanted to create the crew of a freighter called the Lucky Dog. And I was building the freighter. It was using a vintage Tomahawk that I had built side doors for and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I had put on some ExoSquad pieces to make these articulated forward landing arms that came up and became wings in flight, but then folded down to be feet for when it lands. I had such a hard time like trying to figure out how to modify the back end of the Tomahawk to make it look less like a helicopter, because if you cover up the last like quarter of the craft, it does kind of have like a little bit of a like a 1960s spaceship look to it. But I could never figure out what to do with the back, and I just ended up abandoning the project. I think I still probably have the parts of it out in the garage and in my freighters and shuttles box, but I don't ever plan on going back and finishing it.
Yeah,
I couldn't figure out what to do with the last quarter of it.
The one that immediately sprang to mind when I started thinking about it was after 9/11, I wanted to do a U.S. Marshal, you know, the airline marshals. I thought that was just a great concept. It's something G.I. Joe would do because it kind of related to terrorism at the time. And I'd put together a figure, but then realized that's nothing like what an actual U.S. Marshal who was trying to blend in on an airline would look like. You know, it looked like a G.I. Joe figure. And sneak peek in different parts. That's essentially what it was. So I couldn't go anywhere with it. There was no background, and instead went in different direction for something else. You know, it was just one of those things where I really wanted to do it. I had some great ideas, but at the time there was no way, you know, there was no way to just slap body armor on a civilian custom at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So it didn't go anywhere. Nah, too bad. Maybe some other day. Probably not. See, Brad had something to add on this.
Actually, not too long ago, I'd been working on a concepts for Batcave and been piecing together a bunch of stuff and pulling together a bunch of fodder to make it happen. And then during our move 6 months ago, a lot of it got trashed, so it just ended up in the garbage instead of going forward with it. I'll probably try to get some different fodder to put it back together.
Yeah. Moving always does that. Same thing happened with the moon base that I made. It did not take going back and forth between conventions very well. And even with bubble wrap and blankets and everything, it just got squished. And I was like, well, I scavenged it for whatever kibble I could, but the bulk of it went in the trash.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. I was using foam board and almost like paper mache, and it just, I guess, between the heat and the move and getting bumped around, it didn't last the move.
Jeff, I'll plug in afterwards. I didn't get to edit that one. That one needs to be edited.
Projects that I've abandoned.
So I haven't really abandoned any projects other than figures that I may have had either on paper or even parts picked out for that Hasbro turned around and made a Marvel Universe figure of. Normally they were superheroes or derivatives, and then all of a sudden one would get announced. Thanks, Hasbro! Normally I'll just put a custom back in a drawer and forget about it for 10 years, and then one day go, oh, man, I really have inspiration to finish this, which has happened like twice, I think, maybe once.
Outstanding customs, but Jeff did have something for outstanding customs. I'll let him intro because it was pretty funny. No pressure.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10!
Woo! I might as well just lay down on the floor right now and praise Dan of the Dead for one of the most amazing customs I've seen since our last show. The blue lasers made from the Ironmongers. Not only are they cool because they're on my team, using that torso flipped around and headless was just genius. They look amazing. The blue laser effects, the shots are awesome. The detailing, the wash just makes everything pop. I'm very happy to see him and proud. Way to go. Couple of lasers. Cut out that line about proud. That's weird. Just say I'm very happy. And then go blue lasers. Microphone check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Sibilance. Might as well just throw this in here. The other outstanding custom, Lance Sputnik, blue laser tape champion. I also kind of like the idea that the target on his torso is red, blue. Hey, go blue lasers. Hi, Bucky. I mean, red loser. Finally, grudgingly, I will have to say that just today, which was yesterday to most of you people, which is actually probably last month to anyone listening, I have to say I like the Dr. Bindi in his underwear, just because I feel like I better call Saul, and, you know, he name-dropped me, so I feel like I should bring it back around. Hi, Dr. Bindi. Anyway, nice underpants.
Even when he's not on, he's causing me to have to edit. Danny, have you seen any customs lately that just kind of blew you away?
My favorite thing I think I've seen recently, aside from the blue lasers, I was going to mention that, but Jeff took that already. The Destro's Despoiler that was done by, I believe it was Ian. That was a really sharp little build. It almost looked like a special effects model. Like, he did a really nice job on that.
Yeah, that was good. Personal taste, I wish he would have gone further with it. You know, it's definitely better than the original, but I kind of wish he'd done something to really separate it. You know what I mean?
No? It just looked like a nice, like, modern take on it. But yeah, it could have gone further. But for what it was and cobbled together out of the pieces he used, I think it looks great.
Yeah. I'm working on, you know, Greenlighting Customs. I've seen, like, what, 100 in the past few weeks?
Oh, jeez. We'll touch on that in a second.
Yeah, but I'm looking through the recent critique section, and, I mean, what did you call it? The Mobile Strike Force Power Cycle is so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about that one is just so perfect. It's ridiculous, but still really cool. However you made that happen, I think that's one of the most fun projects I've seen in a long time. Especially, what did you make? A keychain is what you made it out of?
Yeah, it was a Fun For All made a big wheel keychain, so I started with that.
Yeah.
And then just added on the highway patrol front, which...
Yeah.
That... I know it looks like I just tacked it on, but there's actually, like, styrene tubes that make a connection point that connects to a styrene setup that's on the front of the highway patrol fairing that's screwed into place, which is why it's got the red and blue, because the screw started pushing out from the front. So there's actually like some engineering behind it that I mean, years ago, that would have just been super glued on the front and I would have called it good and it would have fallen off a month later. But I'm glad that at this point in time, I still can't paint that well, but at least I can get the engineering part of it right.
It looks great. It really does. I don't know. There's something, I like the idea of like taking all the weird, like not figure products that G.I. Joe had. Like, one of the coolest things I liked on the 25th anniversary figures was the ammo pack that was the figure carrying case that they had sculpted on.
Right.
I love the idea of, like, incorporating all those weird non-toy accessories that came out into the toy line somehow. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And for the driver for that, big major props to Dream and Zombie Guide for coming up with Kickstop that, you know, based on the BMX padding of all things that, yeah, you know, Hasbro licensed way back in the day. I was just going to do the mascot or, you know, some little other figure just to show it off. And then I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I might as well go all out and make an actual driver for it. And that was a lot of fun, too.
Very cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the more offbeat customs, and it was just incredible to see it.
Yeah.
Bucky, did you see anything that grabbed your eye?
No, I hate to give them props because they're on that Blue Laser team, but...
Go Blue Lasers.
The big blue robot guys that you did, Dan.
Yeah.
Those are good. Love those. And also that Cobra Commander that you had, like, the one body, but all the different accessories and the different heads. And it was like I could see buying that at the store and having all those little accessories in there, and you'd have eight figures in one. I really liked that one.
Thanks. Yeah, both of those projects were, I don't know, I really liked how those came out.
Then there was it's not on our site, I think it was on one of those Facebook groups, where somebody just kit-bashed an Airborne out of an Ultimate Duke, and one of those green Shock Trooper vests, and a 25th Airborne helmet, and there was no paint involved, but it looked really, really good, and I put that on my to-steal list.
I think that was
Dave. One of the Boss Fight guys, right?
Yeah, that was Dave Proctor.
Yeah.
Well, that was just great.
Yeah.
I stole that one.
I really love those Blue Lasers, Dan. Those were fantastic.
I just ordered, I didn't know this, but evidently the Build-A-Figure from, I think, one of the Captain America lines is the exact same sculpt scaled up. So I've just ordered, like, the 6-inch version, and hopefully I'll have the two 4-inch Cobalts, and then I'm going to work on 6-inch Cobalts to go with them. Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Let's see. I have a short list. Lance Sputnik's Laser Tag Champion. That cracked me up when he showed that. That's such up his alley. You know, oh, sure, I'll join in on the theme. It won't be exactly what you're expecting, but I'll join in. Let's see. Oh, and Dr. Bindi's Red Laser Executive Officer, codename number 2. The diorama, the deal story that he did for it, that just cracked me up, and ending up in the Joe Customs boxer shorts. That I don't know, people have been asking, hey J-Man, are you gonna get in on that? And I don't know. I don't know if we want, yeah, that was gonna end in a package joke, and I decided to opt out. I bailed on it. I couldn't go through. MSWI on the Joe Customs Facebook page, the critiques page, posted an IDW Cobra Commander that looked like it stepped out of the comic book, you know, the suit and turtleneck version. I thought that was really well done. He's one of my favorite customizers out there. And then Blood Brigade did the mule. It was just, you know, a tow truck, but he did a cart that came with it. He's been on a rampage just doing all kinds of really cool stuff, but I just love it when he nails stuff that looks like it would have been fun back in the day playing out in the yard with, you know what I mean? Oh yeah. And Joe Michael 70, his minion R2-D2, I'm stealing that.
Yeah, that was a very funny custom. I showed that to my wife earlier today.
And I don't mean like I'm copying his idea. I mean, while he's gone, I'm going to go to his house. And I'm going to steal it. Brad?
Actually, a whole lot. I mean, from what's come in the main page, Dan the Dead, Zombies, and always good to see stuff from Oreo Builder. I enjoyed his Shockwave because that's one of my favorite characters. I enjoyed Jeff's Jango Fett. Seeing that... G.I. Joe Trooper in the gray. I wish I would have made a figure of that in the gray. It's just an awesome change of color. Just brought out that detail in that figure. And his minion R2-D2 figure is just awesome. Leave it to be, you have to be a little bit out of the box, and it always seems to work.
All right. Let's talk about the red laser versus blue laser challenge.
I think everybody on the site is just kind of open-jawed at how successful it was. The fact that we've crushed any existing greenlit in the queue custom list, or number of customs ready to go, it's fantastic. And I have to congratulate Bucky on expanding our personal challenge to include the entire site. I really think that it's drummed up a lot of excitement. People are pulling things out of the closet and putting them up on, getting them in the gallery, working on new customs. Everyone's getting excited. I hope that the momentum, even if it doesn't continue at this level, I hope it carries through to the end of the year. It's going to make for an interesting Joe Custom Award ceremony next year. That ballot's going to be like 50 pages long. So take a bow, Buck.
Go Blue Lasers.
I got to admit, when it was just Bucky and Joe Michaels, I thought, oh, that's cute. And then and then Bucky decided, hey, why don't we take this across the site? And I was skeptical, but, you know, all right, as long as you guys are going for it. And the next thing we know, we have 229 submitted, greenlit, queued up, ready to go customs on the site, from people from Jogan Warrior to Oriole Builder to Dan of the Dead to Joe Michaels to Lance Spiney to Dremel to so many different customizers coming out of the woodwork, dropping what seems like years worth of submissions on the site, and it's been fantastic. It's just been awesome to see. How has it been for you?
I'm amazed with how they just keep coming in. Like, you think there's going to be a lull, and now we're up to 236, I think, in the queue. And it's amazing. I don't know how it could be more successful at this point. I mean, as long as interest keeps up throughout the new year, I mean, obviously it has to taper off at some point, right? It's just been really amazing to see that much work come through the site.
Yeah, we keep waiting. We keep thinking midsummer, you know, once everybody gets all the stuff that they've been waiting on, but so far it's been pretty steady.
I think that resizing that BI put together, I'm assuming he put it together, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that helped kick it off. When it was just Joe and I, or not Joe and I, Jeff and I, Joe Michaels, like, my goal is, like, the one thing our site's known for is having that gallery, and it's, otherwise we're just another forum where people post their customs. It's like, that's kind of our little thing. And the more I got to thinking about it, like, between him and I doing that, it really didn't do the site any good. So stretching out to everybody, I thought would be a really fun idea, and it caught me way off guard how many people had that many customs sitting around that they had never submitted before. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if there's going to be a let up, but Jogan Warrior sent me a message on Facebook. He just uploaded like 100 more into his Flickr account, and he's just doing 5 to 10 a day. And I don't know if that was just all that he had or if he had more, but I don't know if it'll slow down or not.
Well, just the amount of people that signed up, I was, you know, I thought, oh, okay, you know, based on group project participation recently, based on, you know, the No Joe Challenge recently, and even some of the contests that we've had, you know, we've had participation, but it's not like where we're turning people away, you know, like 100 people. It's usually around 20. Dozens good. More than that, fantastic. We have like 24 people per team. You know, 48 people came out and said, oh, yeah, this sounds like something we're interested in.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. Fantastic. Kudos. Fantastic.
It was an awesome idea. It was a really great idea, especially to, you know, I mean, opening it up to the site, getting everybody involved. I mean, I didn't know I had that many I hadn't submitted to the gallery until I started looking through, and I was like, oh, I never put these on the site. So, yeah, I think that's a lot of us are realizing that we have stuff that we might have shared in the forum that we didn't feel like was finished at the time and have since finished, and it's ready to go in the gallery. And it's cool to see Jogan Warrior, like, to see so much old-style figures and with all the new stuff. It's, you know, I had gotten burned out on A Real American Hero for a while. I thought everything that had been done with those parts had been done, but I mean, that guy is just cranking out solid work with the older parts. That's awesome to see.
I've started stockpiling stuff for prizes. Came across some, you know, those 3D laser stickers, but the old Joe ones, you know, those hologram stickers.
Awesome.
So,
laser blazers.
Yeah, the laser blazers. I got a set of four for those. That's going to somebody. We're going to, you know, random, and then we'll do, like, some MVP stuff, you know, get whoever we thought sticks out is doing just a fantastic job with this. But, man, I wish we could get a prize for everybody, but there's just so many people doing so much awesome stuff. It's going to be tough. Someone's going to get left out. I know. But thank you so much for going back and diving into your libraries and showing them to everybody. I don't think everybody knows that sometimes, you know, that's when you're new to the online hobby of G.I. Joe collecting, what's online is all you see. You don't know the people. You just know what you see in an internet search, and people coming across your custom online, then they go in the gallery, then they start flipping through the customs, even though they're not joining in on the discussion, that's their way in, you know?
Yeah.
Finding the customs, looking at them, oh, I really like Falcon. Oh, these people did customs of Falcon, you know? So they're joining us slowly. So that's why we like having the gallery all filled up. Workbench. The customizing workbench. Bucky, why don't we start with you? What are you working on?
My spirits figures. I'm currently in the midst of doing those. And also, when's this going to air? About a month from, or a couple weeks, maybe?
Probably closer to the end of July, early August.
Okay, I've got, quite a few people that helped Oreo Builder and Dusty and I for our group project or our joint project, and they put in a lot of work for it, and we wanted to thank them, and we don't have money because we're poor, so we made them custom figures. So we've been working on their custom figures. We went back to the people that helped us. We went into the gallery and looked at some of their older figures from years ago and started remaking them in the modern era style, and we're going to send those to them.
Awesome.
I've got like a mayor figure, a couple for Thomas Wheeler, who helped us out quite a bit, and Justin Bell, he's got one coming to him. That's what we've been working on quite a bit, and I wasn't really interested in, I'm not really into group projects, I haven't been in a while, but that Spirits one kind of caught me off guard, and I got excited about that one, so I've been cranking out those a little bit. That's it.
Yeah, the Spirits versus Corpse group project that we're trying to bring in all the paranormal, fantastical, fringe science kind of stuff for the next group project. I've thought of an idea. That's as far as I've gotten. don't question me. That's my workbench. I thought of an idea.
Well, I've been working on my diorama, as I've been working on for the last about a month and a half or so, but the thing is enormous, so it's still not done yet. I have to weather the walls of the bottom section and then finally get in there and paint all the little detail bits, all the little lights, all the little the hoses, etc. Then I have to install the magnets, which I thought I had enough magnets on the side just from other projects, but it turns out I'm going to need to buy some more magnets because I didn't have enough. And then once that's all done, I can begin doing the accessories. And I currently have plans, about 120 accessories that will have metal backs, so you can switch out different elements of the diorama to redress it, you know, pretty much however you want it to be redressed. It's all for photography purposes.
Have we seen any works in progress of this?
Yes, actually, on the Joe Customs Facebook page. I've been putting up work in progress photos all along. I send them initially to a couple of guys via personal messages, but then I put them up on the Joe Customs Facebook page for everybody to see. Yeah. Evidently, I need to get on that.
I think with the last podcast, we took a picture that you just started base coating it.
Yeah. You put the picture of my cat in there, too.
For size. I mean, the thing is massive.
It's massive. 28 and a half inches wide, 18 and a half inches deep, and 16 and a half inches high.
Jeff would say that's what she said.
It is enormous. I painted all by hand because I don't like rattle cans. Everything is done by hand.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, check out the photos. Let me know what you think. Because I'm pretty happy with it. It's come along pretty nicely. Yeah. It is so big, I could take a B-Wing fighter, and you know how big the B-Wing fighters are. I could put it in there, I could put two of them, if I put them right next to each other, too deep, and that's how the diorama is still bigger.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I wanted it to be big enough so I could put vehicles in it, I could put a, you know, make it into a cargo bag, do whatever I need to do to photograph my figures and my custom vehicles. Because it all started with that dungeon diorama I did last year for my fantasy stuff. I wanted to have something to go for my science fiction stuff, because yeah, that's 99% of what I build.
So, I loved the accessory, like the little playset dungeon stuff that you were doing with that. That was really cool.
Very cool. Thank you. I'm doing the same type of stuff, but science fiction oriented. There's going to be a number of, metal backed accessories that can attach to the walls via the magnets. But there's also going to be freestanding, you know, like middle of the floor accessories too. So there'll be, computer stations, and I have a whole science lab that I'm building, where I'm designing, I should say. I haven't actually started building it yet. But it could be a medical bay, it could be a science bay, it could be engineering. I'm going to have all these different things you could put into it. It's going to be insane.
Awesome.
Thank you.
What about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I've finally got, since I was the one who suggested it, I figured I should do some spirits figures. So I've got a pair of those that I'm working on. I picked up two of the, I think it's Transformers Prime RC at Ross for like $5 each. They're in scale with G.I. Joe's. They're motorcycle Transformers, and so I'm going to try to make those into bats that transforms them into motorcycles, but I'm not good at vehicles, and I've never done a Transformers custom, so we'll see how that goes. I'm still working on figures from the Community G.I. Joe episode. I'm almost done with Tight Ship. I'm almost done with Buzzkill. And then I want to start working on some of the Cobra characters. For my this long-term project where I'm trying to make this Council of Evil 80s villains, I'm almost have 100 from RoboForce all parted out, which was really hard to do. But I think he's going to be really cool when I finish him up. That's most of what I'm working on.
Nice. Brad did have something you want to talk about for Workbench. What's on your Workbench? We haven't talked to you about your Workbench in, oh my gosh, like 2 months.
Yeah, it's probably longer than that. This working this graveyard shift is kind of putting my customizing and participation on hold. I'm having to do pretty much everything from my phone, which is not real fun. I've been in like a team building mode. I mean, I posted my Avengers or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on there. I've got a couple other teams in the works. I'm working on a futuristic adventure team. I've got three of those members. I'll probably end up posting those. Well, if I can ever get a day where I can just sit down, I've got probably about 30 figures completed. I want to get put on the side and get put in the gallery. But it's just getting the time to sit down and take the pictures and everything. It's kind of hard right now.
Yeah, I can relate. And it seems like I always want to seem to take one or two shots outside, and the days that I have set aside for them, the weather never cooperates. So I've been doing everything recently has been indoors because the weather just does not want to help me out.
I've got one of those little portable photo studio things that I picked up on Amazon like probably 5 years back. And it just, I want to find a place where I can set it up permanently where I don't have to move it. I can just, you know, go ahead and have it all set up at all times to take my pictures. Space is not really on my side for that right now.
It's ridiculous. The lengths we have to go to show off our work.
Yeah.
So, I got a few things I'm working on. As a matter of fact, I kind of made a list for our good buddy Kilkar to see if he had anything he wanted to throw a dart at. And just in the whips I have in the immediate vicinity, without digging into the closet for the older ones, I've got 93 figures, 5 vehicles, and Castle Destro. I'm trying to prioritize these. Got the NJC coming up, got the new group project coming up, and I've got a lot of ideas for that. I need to get a bunch of stuff done for Assembly Required, and then, of course, the Red Laser, Blue Laser challenge and gallery submission, which I have probably, at least a dozen waiting to be submitted right now. Go Blue Lasers. So a few things.
And actually, Joe Michaels had brought up, Dan of the Dead, he's brought up your photo booth setup that you have in your garage or whatever.
Thanks for that awesome shot of your photo booth that you set. Oh, got a train. It totally gives me something to strive for. I think our site could benefit greatly if everybody had access to one of those or started putting one of those together in their garage. One final thing on the gallery thing from Dan of the Dead and or his mantle display. I think if I ever sell my customs on eBay or something like that, I'm going to steal that idea and use it as use it as part of my photo process.
For this, I'll track down the picture, but can you tell us, you know, since you do have one of the better photo-taking ability, can you take us through your process for that a little bit?
Yeah, and I mean, I think I have to do a little photograph tutorial or something at some point as well, but the most important thing is to have as many lights on as you can get. And I just started out with desk lamps, but then I bought one of the little desktop photo booths. And then when we were working on the movie, I actually got like a $100 set for the green screen and for light stands and lights and diffusion umbrellas. So I've got tall lights in there too. But I mean, if you just have like desk lamps pointed at figures really bright, that's going to help. I use a solid background. I started with just poster board from Michaels. Right now I actually use a roll of photographic backdrop paper. And then the other thing is don't hold your camera. I started, rather than a tripod, I just had a bag of black-eyed peas that I nestled the camera into to make sure it was absolutely steady. And if you can get a tripod, use a tripod. If you can use a remote trigger, use a remote trigger. You just want as much light as possible so you can have the fastest f-stop that you can use, or the fastest shutter speed, rather, that you can use, and then you want as little motion in the camera as possible. So it's really it's about having a clean background, having good light, and having a steady camera. And then I do a lot of I clean up the background in Photoshop, but it's mostly just a blur on the background. I don't retouch the figures except to remove color cast and do some color balance control, but it's all pretty easy tricks, and that's another tutorial that I want to work on. But bring in light, find a good background that works, either a solid background or a good dio, and just get a steady camera.
I'd mentioned to Brad, but I had a photo set up, but I was never quite happy with the amount of light I could get in there. There was no natural light at all, ever. So, setting up different lamps, but I'd have to take them down because they were in my customizing space too.
Yeah.
So I kind of changed it all around, and now I have like one of those Costco Sam's boxes where half the front's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And just started using one of those with, you know, just some felt in the background. And now I can move it wherever I can set it up on a desk or a table in the kitchen or whatever to get all kinds of light on it. And
yeah,
that's what I've been using for the past year or so. It's like, instead of having that permanent setup, having something I can set up and take down real quick seemed to work better for me. But yeah, getting like six lights on it instead of one or two, that definitely helped.
Yeah. And my wife and I just moved out to California at the beginning of the new year. And luckily the place we got had a nice garage. And this is something you can't do in Texas, is like set up a workshop in your garage, because the heat will destroy everything in there. But the weather out here is so mild that I have all my customizing stuff out in the garage. So I've got a permanent setup for my work desk, a permanent setup for photography, and just having all that like room to work makes getting stuff done so much easier.
Dan, what's your photo setup?
My photo setup is actually pretty simple. I really don't have a place to take my photos often. So what I'll do is I'll take a bunch of sheets of white computer paper and lay them out with a curved background to try to not have as many lines showing where the pages come together. I set up two desk lamps, two standing lamps. I have in the ceiling in my hobby room, I have a 5-bulb ceiling fan.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much my light setup, and then the flash on the camera. That's it. I mean, it's total low-tech.
Hey, it works.
Yeah.
What about you, Bucky?
I've got a small room where all my custom paints and figure parts are. And there's a 5-shelf bookcase, like, right behind me. And my little photo area is the second. It's not the top, but it's the shelf right below it, which is actually maybe like a foot and a half away from one of those 4-foot-long bulbs. and that acts as a pretty good light. And I just threw up some felt in the background, and that's my little picture taking area.
Nice. Fire. I haven't gotten anything in fodder specific for Father's Day. I got the True Hero C-130, so I've just been kind of playing around with that, you know, taking the Cobra Parachute Trooper and loading them up there, and me and my daughter flying it around and stuff. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, not really fodder, but out there playing with toys in the backyard, you can't beat that.
Nope. Well, for Father's Day, I actually did get some fodder stuff, which was pretty nice. I got another of the Hobbit Mirkwood Heroes set, because I needed another of the Elven King, Thranduil, or whatever his name is. I needed another one for a project. And Toys R Us has a markdown. It's like $8 for the 5-pack. So my in-laws got me one. And, yeah, most of the figures I had already, because there was only the one new figure in the whole box. So they just went in my my parts box. And then I was very surprised, because I took the Elven King apart, just simply because I could never see a good look at what his legs look like up underneath the robe. And it turns out he has these incredible-looking boots that come all the way up to his knees. So I took the one I got for Father's Day and my one that I had on my shelf, boiled and popped them, took out the legs, switched them with a pair of extra Legolas legs that I had on each one, because you can't see it anyway, they're under the robe. And I used the two sets of the Elven King legs on Legolas bodies, because they're going to be Elven High Guards when I finally get around to doing my Elves project. And the boots look awesome with the armor that's on Legolas's tunic. Plus the fact they're going to have, you know, really cool-looking helmets and shields and all this great Elven weaponry I'm making. But the boots also help to separate the look of it from the standard Elven soldiers, which are basically going to be modified Legolas figures. So it went a long way, and it was a nice surprise, because I had no idea that these awesome-looking boots were tucked up underneath the long robe on this figure. The only other thing I got a couple of packages in the mail with some Geonosis pillars in it from the Star Wars Episode II line, which I'm always looking for more Geonosis pillars. If anybody out there listening to this, all, you know, 12 of you, if you have any extra ones, I'll be glad to give them a good home.
What about you, Bucky?
I haven't really picked up anything besides that. I found this Star Wars Rebel transport something or other. Little transport speeder. I don't even know how to describe it. It looks like a little vehicle that they would ride around on in the docking bays to fix their spaceships or whatever.
Oh, it's a pilot transport from Yavin.
Yeah, okay. And I'm planning on painting it purple and making it like a little Techno Viper transport car where they go around and work on tanks.
Awesome.
I haven't gotten around to that yet. That's about the only thing that I've picked up in a long time.
Yeah, that little Yavin car is actually a pretty cool vehicle. I got two of them. I have one that's being driven by one of my Imperial hangar techs, and it's got four TIE pilots sitting on it. And I've got one for my Rebel display with a bunch of orange-suited pilots on it.
Yeah.
It's a nice little diorama filler.
Yeah, I have one on the shelf somewhere to be a Cobra transport as well. It's a really cool piece.
Yeah, the figures are nice, too. The Rebel hangar technicians, that's a very cool figure. The face looks like Ryan Stiles from the Dracarys show.
Oh, my God, it does.
Oh, wow. I never noticed that.
Yeah, it's like somebody must have had him on their mind when they were sculpting that head. Because there's no denying that's who it is.
I can't think of any Ryan Stiles characters I need figures of. I wish we'd be off the lookout now.
All right, that seems to be it. The deadline for the Spirits vs. Corpse group project is September 14th. Midnight-ish, Pacific Standard Time-ish. It's more of a soft deadline. If you don't think you quite make it, just let me know. Hey. Because I'm not going to be up at midnight waiting for him. That's what it comes down to. Any parting shots? Anything we missed?
We're not going to talk about the Kickstarters that are going on or anything unusual?
See? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's some Kickstarters. Namely, the Boss Fight Studio Kickstarter with their 300 Spartans and their Gorgons with snake tails and Medusas and Amazons and all kinds of cool stuff that you can get on in on. And they'll give you toys for donating towards their startup. Have you guys joined in? You don't got to say how much, but have you joined in or not?
Not yet. No, I'm planning to. Hopefully, before the Kickstarter ends, if I have some spare cash, I'm going to definitely throw them a couple of bucks because I like the Boss Fight guys. I like their product. I wish they had gone with the fantasy figures they've been showing off the line drawings for. I wish they had started off with those instead of the Gorgons and whatnot, but there's no denying the quality and just the overall cool factor of those figures.
That dragon lady with the eggs and the unseen dragons at this point, I'm you know, that's straight out of game of something or other.
Yeah, it's definitely reminiscent, but it's very cool, though. And the half-orc male and female figures, oh my god, the skull helmet on that female one is amazing.
Okay, where are you guys seeing these drawings? I haven't seen these yet.
On the Boss Fight Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their website, their web page, I've been trying to plug in some of them on the Boss Fight Kickstarter thread as they show them. Generals, Joes, we're all whores for them. I don't know what to tell you. We all want to see these guys succeed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a couple other interesting Kickstarters, too. Somebody's trying to redo the Skeleton Warriors.
Right.
I saw that.
That's very cool looking, but I don't think they're going to make it, though. They don't seem to be generating enough revenue, pledges.
I don't know. It's a strange, kind of obscure line to try to
recreate, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. They're not that far from their goal, but they only have, like, 2 days left.
Yeah. And the other one that was interesting, even though I really dislike the retro figures... The Legends of Cthulhu or Legends of Cthulhu, yeah. Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The artwork they made up for the packaging, the second I saw it, I was transported back to like 1981 at Toys R Us. Yeah. That artwork by Ken Kelly is amazing. I think I may just donate a couple of bucks just to get the poster they have. I have no interest in the figures, but I would get that poster in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I haven't seen these. I'm looking at the site. The catalog pages are amazing.
Yeah, they recreated the era so perfectly.
Yeah, that's really neat. That's really cool.
As of right now, the Boss Fight Kickstarter has $140,000 of its 75,000 request to get the initial tools for Wave 1. So they're working on the later waves. They're working on their stretch goals. They also had a 700 backer mark where they were going to do the Amazon. They're at 627 backers right now with 20 days left to go.
Nice.
Yeah,
they're doing very, very well. I'm very excited for them.
If they don't reach skeletons, though, it's a failure. Sorry.
I agree. Those skeletons would be very cool to have.
We've had some internal discussions. You know, once the Boss Fight and once the Marauder John figures, once the Marauder Inc. figures hit, how is that going to affect the gallery? And it's like, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, when you have the same designers working on G.I. Joe and Marvel and now two third-party or independent toy companies that have very similar but not quite the same G.I. Joe articulation, we'll figure it out. We'll play it by ear.
As long as the parts are compatible or close enough, it should work.
Yeah.
The Spectre does not speak for Joe Customs. Brad did have a parting shot.
Not too much. Just hope to get back on a normal routine. I'm supposed to be coming back to Days in the next couple months, and just not soon enough for me, and then maybe I can get back on the normal podcasting schedule with you guys.
That'd be great. As soon as we get whatever a normal podcast schedule is. Bucky, did you have anything you wanted to add? Anything we missed?
Yeah, everybody check out our group project that me and Oreo Builder are working on, because if you don't, I'll cry, because it took a long time and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So please, if you like it, pimp the hell out of it, put it on Facebook, make us feel good about ourselves.
Is that what it's called? Bucky and Oreo Builder do blood, sweat, and tears?
Yeah, and money, and sleep, and laugh and
no,
sleep.
Really, what are you guys calling it?
It's G.I. Joe Resurgence.
I think we talked a little bit about it, but why don't you remind them what exactly, you know, don't go into too much detail, but what is it in a nutshell?
Imagine if... Oreo Builder and I got hired to reboot the line, but not reboot it in the sense that, like, nothing in the past ever happened. We're going for a real nostalgic feeling. It's hard to explain. We're trying to touch the nerves of all the nerdy fan kids out there that played with G.I. Joe when they were little. Through figures, vehicles, artwork, drawings, promotional stuff, it's all in one. one great big package, and we put a lot into it, so we're hoping it's really well received. Otherwise, we're both retiring.
Oh no.
We're going to start doing My Little Pony customs or something. I don't know.
Awesome.
So you heard it here first. Oreo Builder and Bucky are getting together to give you one big package.
Yes.
I have a feeling that's going to get around.
When does it go live?
We're hoping, I think we got everything we need to go by July 1st. He's got all of the figures up there, and he's been taking photos on his dioramas that he's got, which are incredible. I think he's got a new one that looks like it's a cityscape, but it should be July 1st because we've got all of our file cards. We've got all of our outdoor pictures. He's got my figures. I've got Dusty's figures. I can tell you guys, by the time this hits, it'll be on the site. So there's Matt, it's Mayor, is making a catalog insert with all of our figures in it.
Awesome.
It should be viewable on the site, like that used to come with the figures. And J-Man is also doing an insert that covers all the mail-away figures that we made. And we're kicking around the idea right now is to actually take our mail-away figures and hold a contest on the site and actually mail them to people if they win on the site. We're not sure how we're going to do that, but we're trying to figure that out right now.
That's a cool idea, though. Yeah. No, the whole project sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. That's all I had, just pimping my own stuff, so...
Well, it's going to be awesome. I hope it's as big as you guys are looking forward to it, because it's going to be worth checking out.
Well, you always do such great work, and you got great collaborators with you on this particular mission. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I hope so.
All right. That's all we got. Dan, thanks for coming on. Thanks for... You're a good guest. Sorry we had so many people calling in remotely, but next time we'll try to have some more people on for you. And hopefully you'll have more stuff. We'll do it a year from now. How about that?
Sounds good. It was fun. Thank you guys for having me on. I really enjoyed it. Hey. So thanks for coming on.
All right, take it easy.
I don't really have a Porky Pig, so let's just do this one.
I don't know, Homer. They're pretty selective.
I mean...
That's all, folks.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Guys, we're a squad. You're making me look bad.
Well, if you're so great, Wingman, show us how it's done.
With pleasure.
Meet again, G.I. Joe.
Good shooting, Wingman, but it looks like Destro's getting away.
Not necessarily, sir.
What? Oh, no. What are you doing? Are you ready?
Yo, Joe!
What? What, we're not saying it together?
Is the code name for America's daring, awesomely trained, awesome mission force. Its purpose, to fight Cobra, because they're terrorists. Look, I think I'm over-explaining it. The bad guys are snakes and the good guys are army people.
He never gives up, he'll stay, he'll fight one. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe. G.I.
I feel like Jack Burton just kind of driving along talking into this machine. I'm not driving any faster than I can see. Ooh, Taco John's.